Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Feature. I'm your host, Tom Majeure. We have a very important topic. I'm very serious about this topic. We know that at times we have children listening to this program. We are glad to have them. We invite them to be listening to Strong Tower Radio, and we purposely create programs for them like Your Story Hour and Play Discovery Mountain. Jesus said, "Bring the little children to me and forbid them not." Today's topic will need parental discretion and guidance. We will be discussing a horrible reality that is a result of sin in this world and an awful pandemic at that. It is human trafficking. The Michigan State Police is focusing on this tragedy, and I have Lieutenant Christopher Keller here with us to discuss this. Welcome, Lieutenant.
Thank you.
Well, Lieutenant, this is a very serious topic, and we're going to discuss this in much depth. As we've talked pre-show, this is a topic that when I did the research in this, I really realized that I am aware of it, but I really don't talk about it. And sometimes this is a subject we do need to talk about and address.
Yeah, I would agree. Obviously, it's not something that's fun to talk about or realize that is prevalent or apparent or in our communities, but unfortunately, it is a real situation that's occurring.
Let's, before we get in more depth in the subject, let's have a word of prayer. Our great Heavenly Father, we live in a sinful world. We live in a world of tragedy. Lord, this is not the way you wanted it to be. You wanted to have love. You wanted to have trust. You wanted to have security for all of your children. But we went astray, and we are getting what we chose. And so, dear Lord, we are in the situation. We need to address this. We need to have compassion. Today, we'll be looking at a subject. Our eyes will be opened, and we need to be involved in this subject to help work with authorities and to be responsible in this subject. Be with us and help us to discover and to react appropriately to this tragedy. In Jesus' name, amen. Lieutenant, your name is Lieutenant Christopher Keller. Tell us a little bit about your position.
Yeah, so I've been a lieutenant with State Police now coming up on 4 years. I've been with the agency about 12 years. In my time, I've worked in multiple work sites, Jackson, Michigan, St. Ignace, Michigan, Gaylord, Alpena. And currently, I'm assigned out of Gaylord. I oversee all commercial vehicle enforcement operations for the 7th District, which for us is basically Houghton Lake, north to the bridge, and Alpena to Traverse City.
Very good.
And currently, in my position, I sit as the chair of the Human Trafficking Awareness Program for the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance, which we refer to as CVSA.
So that has a statewide impact?
That's a national impact. That's a national board. So I am the chair, there's vice chair, and we have directors on that as well. But that's a national board that helps to facilitate the awareness that we do on a national level. So that's just a hat that I would wear, you know, as part of my job. But yeah, I work for the State Police. I work here in Michigan, but that's just one of the duties that I've took on as of this last year.
Well, we're very privileged to have you and the depth of experience and perspective. How did you become involved in this particular topic?
Well, working for the Commercial Vehicle Enforcement Division, well, we refer to that as CVED in our agency, just it's a little easier. But we became kind of the pioneers of this back in 2015. As far as partnering with there's partners in the country, Truckers Against Trafficking, which we commonly refer to as TAT. That's a nonprofit organization that is interested in getting information out and interested in getting information in regarding about human trafficking in our country. And we started partnering with them, and we started building a model in our state that modeled Iowa. Iowa had a good human trafficking program, awareness program, and we started modeling that back in 2015. And with the nature of human trafficking, the nature of TAT, Truckers Against Trafficking, with the nature of those things and our industry that we work with, which is the trucking industry, it just made sense that we would be great partnership and kind of the forefront as far as enforcement goes and carrying out the operations in the state.
Let's define what human trafficking is. Literally, I'm not sure I fully comprehend. I'm a person who tries to be knowing and aware of my circumstances, but I have a feeling I have a limited vision. Would you help myself as well as our listeners?
Yeah, so what human trafficking basically is, and unfortunately it's a broad spectrum of things, but the way we look at it or the way we would be interested in knowing about is anytime you have a group of people, whatever that person is, it's being forced to do something or forced to go somewhere or be a part of something that they don't want to be a part of, and they're being used means of coercion, whether that would be, you know, substance abuse, whether that would be threatening, blackmail, any form of coercion, forcing somebody to do something, whatever that thing may be, working, maybe it's like in what people generally think of human trafficking would be like sexual acts, things of that nature. That's what human trafficking is. It doesn't have to be one thing. So what makes it very difficult is, I just gave you that big broad spectrum of things that it could be. That makes it kind of difficult to see. Because the fact is, it could be happening and you might not know it. And it might not be what you would stereotypically think of as human trafficking. Because it's, when it comes down to it, when you say human trafficking, people immediately think sex trafficking. That's not always the case.
We'll want to explore this in greater depth. You know, we live in the United States, and we are free, and this is almost beyond some of our comprehensions that anybody could be coerced to do anything that would seem like, oh, you just go down the street and you talk to the police and you're free. You know what I mean? What's wrong with that perspective?
Well, fear is very powerful. So there has been instances that, you know, know of and in my training and obviously dealing with this program that I've been a part of, where you would think that except for a person, whether it be, you know, young person, older, that's kind of irrelevant, the age or the gender. But when you have a person that's coercing them and saying, if you don't do this, whatever you can imagine that act being, if you don't do something, well, then I'm going to kill your family. Well, let's say it's an impressionable person, a 14-year-old, male, female. It's going to terrify them. And, you know, they're not going to have the problem-solving skills and the logical thinking of, you know, they're really going to believe that, right? Well, that is how it works. Fear. They believe if they don't do this, this person's going to do what they said to their family. That's just an example. It doesn't always have to be that drastic. But harm seems to be, you know, a fearful tactic. So, unfortunately, like what you said, yeah, just run to the police. They probably could, and it probably would solve problems. But unfortunately, people, that fear is real.
You know, this goes back a significant time, but in California, there was a man who had people in his backyard in a guest house and were literally in slavery in a neighborhood and nobody knew it. I don't know if you recall that particular case, but it's inconceivable that you could live in a neighborhood, and this went on maybe 10 plus years of this happening in a house in a neighborhood.
Yeah, I don't remember that specifically, but it might shock people listening. That doesn't surprise me, because generally, people are good. And generally, you expect people to be good. Because why would you not? That'd be not a fun way to go about things. Of course, there's people that don't. But so, in that instance, people probably just wouldn't even, because they couldn't, it's inconceivable, just like you said, it's inconceivable to them to ever do such a thing. So you wouldn't think that somebody would be doing that. So I could see, and that's how this works. It's inconceivable to think that, for most of us, that we would look at another person and see some way to gain something from them in a way where we could force them to do something that they don't want to do.
And Is it a form of mind control?
Well, I'm sure there's probably psychologists and things that would be able to speak on that better for you. But I mean, I think at some point it just becomes, I don't know, mind control. That's, I don't know about that term, but yeah, I mean, people become basically convinced. You know, you can convince people. I mean, look at history. Look at the things that have happened throughout history where people have been convinced to do things, you know, the Holocaust or certain things, you know, wars, whatever. People can kind of be convinced to do things. And this is maybe not on such a drastic level, but maybe it is on a drastic level like that. I don't know. It's hard to say because it's a hard number to put your finger on.
I want to make this maybe so that I personally, maybe our listeners also will not overlook this. We'll see it when it happens. You're in the commercial enforcement division, the highways, the commercial traffic. Your beat is pretty much the highways.
Yeah, we work mostly state highways, I routes, your U.S. routes. We also work on county roads and in counties too. But, you know, yeah, our focus of our majority of my division's patrol is those routes.
So when I'm in a rest stop, if I see something peculiar, what might it be that could be human trafficking? What would be the most likely thing I would see at the Claire rest stop?
Well, you know, a sign of it could be, you know, you look at, people are good at looking at other people and kind of getting, you know, general body language, general, you can kind of look at somebody and say, oh, that's a father-son, father-daughter, mother-son. You know,
that's a healthy relationship.
You can see that generally. The average person can see that. It's when you notice a relationship that looks odd. And I don't mean looks odd by the looks of the people. I mean more looks odd and the way they're acting together.
And give us a profile.
So maybe example, you have a person with kids. Like if you look at a normal family at a rest area or truck stop.
Kids are running all
kids
over.
Kids running all over. Kids
come
running
back
all
here.
Over. Yes. Come back here. Calling them by name. Come back here. Get back. Kids. No. You know, normal family activities, whatever that would be. Sometimes this would be very different. You'd have kids that won't want to talk. Won't want to look at you. You know. If you,
so you open up the door for them at the, I'm just visualizing right. 127, you know, opening up the door and you let a family go through and yep. Something's just different.
Yeah, kids won't make eye contact with you because they've been told to not talk to adults, you know, or they've been told to, and it doesn't have to be kids. People think kids and sometimes I catch myself seeing kids, but any general relationship where it would look like they don't want to talk to you, they don't want to be around you, and they have somebody there that you can tell is obviously in a position of power over them. You know, those are the things you're looking for. Not everything's going to be obvious. There have been some obvious rescues in Michigan, but that's what you'd be looking for. And you know, I wouldn't suggest people to engage. You know, are you engaging in human trafficking? Obviously, I don't want anybody to get in danger. But there are avenues that people can take to alert us on those things. And they don't have to be, you know, some big investigation as far as to alert us.
And, you know, I would like you to share that at this time, and we'll share that information towards the end, but this is a good time because our listeners come in and out of, you know, they're doing their things to get out of the car or whatever. So if you feel very, very uncomfortable and you're very sure that something is not right, what do you do?
Yeah, so there is a human trafficking hotline, and it's 1-888-373-7888.
Okay, so let's have that one more time.
It is 1-888-373-7888, and that's the National Human Trafficking Hotline. And what that is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hotline in over 200 languages, so anybody could call it. And that will, they'll ask for locations. They're not going to ask for your name. It's going to be anonymous. They'll ask for locations. They'll ask for certain things like that. And nothing is too small for that. So you don't have to be, you know, a seasoned detective and know for sure this is happening. If you see an anomaly, then that would be an opportunity to make that call. Another thing, and it's probably a less popular, we talked about, you know, what to see if you saw it, but what if you're in that same rest area, pick one, truck stop, gas station, wherever. And you're on a road trip and you stop in the middle of the night. Well, you might see a person going from vehicle to vehicle looking for clients or whatever they may be looking for. You know, that could be human trafficking. That's not necessarily a person doing that on their own fruition.
Listeners, you're listening to Strong Tower Radio Feature on Strong Tower Radio Network. I have Lieutenant Christopher Keller, and he's with the Commercial Enforcement Division of the Michigan State Police. Lieutenant, would you talk a little bit about the subject? Most people default into prostitution, and even if prostitution is happening, it may not be under, as we've learned here, may not be under their own volition. They may be under coercion. How could that even happen, and how do you tell the difference between all that?
Well, how it could happen would be a couple ways. In Michigan, we've had rescues where we've saved people that have been part of human trafficking where they get abducted and they get forced into this life. And they get told if they do X, they'll be released. There's other times when human trafficking occurs where, you know, they almost groom a person. So they'll find young people. It's usually younger people just because they're a little bit more impressionable, obviously, for other reasons, whether it's just they don't have the ability to make decisions for themselves, but they'll groom them, buy them things, treat them nice. And then after, you know, a certain amount of time doing that, well, if you want to keep doing these things, you have to do this. And if you don't, we'll harm your family, we'll do whatever. But it's really easy when, let's say human trafficking was actively happening and you saw it. It's kind of easy to look at that if you don't think of a victim mindset and think, well, that person's just a prostitute. And she, he, whoever, is choosing to do that. Well, that's probably not the case. I mean, I don't want to say that prostitution is not a real thing, because I think that that is also a occurrence that happens all over our country. But for human trafficking, you might see significantly older men and women with those young people. And it might go to, we're a partner with Truckers Against Trafficking, so obviously we focus on that. It could be a young person or a person going from truck to truck to truck trying to find a client. It's not really a partnership client situation where they want to do that. They have, usually there's another vehicle with multiple people sitting in it, making sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And, you know, that's just a little bit different of a scenario. Irregardless, whatever which one you think of the victim mindset that these people are being forced to do it, still call the human trafficking hotline, because it's hard to judge what they're doing at the time. So to sit there and sit back and say, well, that's not human trafficking, no, make the call. And maybe we can intervene, and maybe we can find out that it was, and then save somebody.
Absolutely. You know, I've heard it said on different occasions, we live in Cadillac, and you think, oh, Cadillac, you know, 10,000 people, a nice little safe little community, but we're right along US 131. And it's been said that things happen that young people at the major box stores right by the freeway have been abducted at some of those stores and taken to other places, and things happen from that particular point. Is that an urban myth, or is that reality?
Well, I can't necessarily say specifically yes, no, but I will say this. That's very possible. And for example, in November of 2022, there was a rescue of a person that was forced into human trafficking at the Mackinac Bridge. They were trying to go through the tolls, and
The perpetrator was,
and taking the person that was being trafficked. And from the articles that are available to anybody, you could go look this up. There was just a person being hidden under a blanket and taken. Now, I'm not sure where that person initially came from, but that was essentially, you know, at Cadillac Mackinac Bridge, that's not that far apart. And so to say that it is not a reality, I don't want to try and instill some crazy paranoia or conspiracy theory with your listeners, but to say that we shouldn't be alert of it, whether you're Traverse City, Cadillac, Gaylord, Alpena, wherever you cover, I would say that you should have a somewhat heightened awareness of it.
So is there prevention beyond just observing and and reporting? Is there anything else that we can do?
As a general population, I would say, besides keeping yourself safe and alert, that should be what you should do. We don't need people endangering themselves trying to intervene. You know, that would only end poorly, because the people that are at the point where they're willing to take somebody into human trafficking would probably have no problem causing somebody that just intervenes harm. And that would be the last thing we want. I understand that this could be hard to do. You see something, you want to say something, which is the Truckers Against Trafficking slogan. See something, say something. And you might see something, and you might say something, and you might have to watch those people leave. And that's not going to be easy to do. But you have to understand the danger you could be trying to put yourself into. And we don't want people getting hurt on the guidance we're giving. That's why the human trafficking hotline was put into place.
Well, you had a campaign to raise awareness, and that's how we became aware and got in contact with you. Will you tell us about this annual campaign that's in January?
Yes. So in January of every year, we have a Human Trafficking Awareness Day. In the U.S., it's January 11th. So last week, January 9th through 13th, was our annual initiative to raise awareness about human trafficking. Canada and Mexico also do it, and theirs are just in February and March. So here in Michigan, from January 9th through the 13th, all the officers and any enforcement personnel for the Commercial Vehicle Enforcement Division that were on the road were trying to raise awareness by either giving out wallet cards and information that way that has a human trafficking awareness phone number on there, doing presentations. We have, in the state of Michigan, we have a TAT, Truckers Against Trafficking coordinator, in every district. So we have 7 districts, and there's one in every district. So they did presentations. Obviously, we did a lot of media contacts. And then we also did these outreach. A lot of this outreach we do with our general enforcement. On our traffic stops, on our inspections that we did last week, we handed out wallet cards and window decals to truck drivers that'd be willing to display them. And like I said earlier, most people are good. Most truck drivers that we encounter that are part of the trucking industry and carriers, they want to be a part of the solution. You know, they don't want people just thinking that this is what's going on at truck stops, and that gives a negative stigma to that. That is not the case. This is not, you know, don't listen to this and then look at truck drivers and be like, oh, they support. No, most of them, you'll actually see now, if you pay attention, now that we have this conversation, you're driving around, you'll probably start seeing trucks that have stickers on them that say TAT, T-A-T, with their logo, which is like a wheel with 3 spokes. Now you'll probably see that. You'll see the, you know, overarching support from the trucking industry to try and stop this problem. And that's basically what we did last week. And that's what we do every year.
Is there any website that people go to? Are there like slideshows or information that would be beneficial for our listeners to get a better comprehension of the subject?
Yes. So truckersagainsttrafficking.org is the website that you'd want to go to. They have materials there. They have training there. They have, you know, a description better of what they are. And, you know, they're not a law enforcement agency. They're a nonprofit informational agency, but they have a great, great staff there. So I'm on the Human Trafficking Awareness Committee. I'm the chair of that. Well, one of their chairs, Kyla Lanier, she works for Truckers Against Trafficking, works with me. Probably we talk weekly, if not more, about this issue. So they will gladly help anybody. If it's about spreading awareness, they are fully on board. And so that's the best place I would suggest to go. That's where we go to get our materials. They give them to us to give to everybody else.
Wonderful. Well, listeners, you've been listening to Strong Tower Radio Feature. We've been dealing with a very difficult subject. It's a very serious one. It's about human trafficking, and we've explored the fact that it's more than what most of us initially thought before hearing this broadcast. And the resources that we have available is a toll-free number, 888-373-7888. Again, that's 888-373-7888. And the website to where you can get more information is truckersagainsttrafficking.org. truckersagainsttrafficking.org. And Lieutenant, I just truly appreciate you taking part of your time and bringing awareness to this particular subject.
Thank you.
And that's Lieutenant Christopher Keller of the Commercial Vehicle Enforcement Division of the Michigan State Police. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Well, folks, until next time, this is Tom Azure for Strong Tower Radio Feature.